Blog Talk Radio.
We're back, and we're going to cut it right there and go right into our show. We are broadcasting simultaneously today on our Blog Talk Radio show, our Business and Real Estate Success Channel, and here for our listeners on Master Your Domain. This is Attorney Steve, licensed to practice law in California and Arizona. I am here today, the one with the one, the only, the smiling, laughing, always ready for action, Frontline Lisi.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, good. It's Monday.
It's Monday. We're ready for a big week. We've got lots of things going on, and we are raring and ready to go. And today we're talking about a topic that really gets under my skin, under my nails, gets my blood boiling sometimes. And this is the topic of California financial elder abuse. And this is a topic where, you know, over the years we have helped victims of financial elder abuse in so many different types of settings. Traditionally, you know, we're not doing the nursing home cases per se, where elders are abused in a nursing home facility. But we are doing the types of cases that deal with real estate, being real estate lawyers and litigators here. And I should say real estate lawyer. It's just me. I'm the lawyer.
I'm a lawyer. No, I'm not. That's right.
Frontline Lisi's not a lawyer, but as we've learned, she would be tenacious in the courtroom. And anyway, I tried to talk her into going. She, for some reason, was not interested.
We need only one lawyer in the family.
That's probably true. That's probably two.
Our dinner conversations would be brutal.
Yeah, that would be brutal. That'd be fun.
It'd be fun, though.
So we're talking today about this topic that, like I said, really boils my skin when you see some of the predatory actions that people are willing to do against seniors, and they're under California law that's defined as 65 or older, but just the dastardly things people are willing to do to somebody else. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
One question, though.
Yeah.
Why California? Why is California so tenacious about elder abuse? But, like, for instance, Arizona really isn't as much.
Well, it's not that they're not as much. Okay. It's just that every state is aware. I think most states are very aware of this issue of our growing senior population. California, it just so happens, is one, like in a lot of areas, a leader in legal protections. So California has passed a law in the Welfare and Institutions Code that talks about elder abuse, particularly the topic that we're interested in, the little subsection of elder abuse, which is financial elder abuse. And that's basically where you basically commit acts that deprive a senior of their real estate or personal property, which could be money, a lot of times is. So these are the types of things, but let me start real quick just with a few stats that I think you might find interesting. But, you know, financial elder abuse and elder abuse in general is known as the crime of the 21st century.
Really?
The other one that we remember hearing a lot about being the crime of the 21st century was identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way there are some overlaps with this sort of thing and what's going on. But there are reported to be hundreds of thousands of victims each year of financial elder abuse. There's billions of losses. I mean, I could cite numbers. I'm not a big guy that likes to cite a ton of numbers.
Right.
But I saw, you know, $3.8 billion in losses. I mean, they're just staggering amounts of losses, at the hands of elders.
Well, it's interesting. We watch American Greed all the time, and probably 90% of these shows are kind of targeting the elders and the investments and, you know, don't you kind of think that most of those shows we watch?
Yeah, I totally agree, and we'll get to that in a second, the different types of potential predators, financial predators, as we'll call them. But, yeah, you're exactly right. It's and what we see and what you've seen over the years and the various cases we've had is it's an aspect of this American greed,
yeah,
misusing and abusing positions of trust,
mm-hmm,
fraud, feet, all these things that you're exactly right. That's definitely what it is.
Well, I mean, if you think about the shows that, I mean, the ones that come into mind are these people, like you said, entrusting these elders, and they take and invest all their money. And if you think about it, they invest all their money, the money's gone, they lose everything, and it's like, how do they recover? These people end up going to jail. They can't even go recover this money.
Yeah, well, you know? And well, we're going to talk about it in a second. The one nice thing about the California statute is they do have a provisional remedy for a chance to seek a pre-judgment attachment order and a writ of attachment to try to attach, at the time you're filing the lawsuit, to try to attach the assets of the defendants or the wrongdoers. So there are some tools put in place to help make this easier, and it's really because these predators are so conniving and cunning that they know these little tricks and how to get away with what they've done. But let's talk a little bit more. Many of these financial elder abuse incidents are not reported. Now, can you understand why that may be?
Embarrassment.
Yeah, so you have embarrassment, and you not only have that, but you have elders that are, you know, we none of us like to think that we're losing our faculties and that we may not have our sharp wits. And so you try to sort of handle your situation. You don't want to admit to your kids or yourself. So sometimes it's more than embarrassment. You don't even want to admit to yourself that maybe you're getting old,
right,
that you're losing some faculties, that you're maybe making some bad decisions. But some of that could be based on false lies, trust, deceit, and those kinds of things. So there's this is a big growing problem, is my point. There's lots of victims. This is going on. Now, why? I've identified a few forces in reviewing some of the different articles and having reviewed some of our cases. Why? Economic crunch. Things are tight right now. Money's tight. Some of these financial predators, they need money. They're looking for money. They don't have good jobs. They don't have this, that. So they're trying to figure out an easy way to make some money. Many elders have money. In this financial crisis, people that have built up a nest egg over the last 40 years and, make dumb investments at the wrong time, a lot of these elders still have money.
Yep.
To what degree, that's always debatable, but there are some elders that have substantial nest eggs. Trusting elderly people, many of them grew up at a different time,
mm-hmm.
So they tend to be more trusting.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, they don't think their professional that they hire is going to do them wrong. They they trust and believe that we can hire an attorney, accountant, investment advisor, and they're not going to do me wrong.
Right.
And the new one, and we'll talk about this in a second, how it ties into sort of the new age technology and things that are going on is elders tend to have a lack of computer skills.
Oh, totally.
They may be okay. They may just be figuring out email, but they don't know all these other things that are going on. They may jump on Facebook, but they're not understanding all these different types of things, these emails that you get. And you open up an email link, and it turns into, it looks like a Wells Fargo page,
mm-hmm.
and it's called a phishing scam,
mm-hmm.
With a P instead of an F. But you open up these emails and you find that, oh my God, it looks like Wells Fargo and they want my account information. So these are sort of online scams that are targeting, not only targeting, but affecting the elderly. And the final force that I've identified that deals with financial elder abuse is they're living longer.
Right.
And yes, medical science is making people live longer and stronger, but as we mentioned, at some point your faculties start to diminish as a person for many people,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, you may or may not want to admit it, but this makes you susceptible to scams and being preyed on.
Some of the calls that we've gotten in our office are, and I haven't heard this in a while, this is more like maybe a year or so ago, where elders were getting calls saying, "Hi, your grandson's in jail, and he needs $20,000 to get you out of jail." I mean, we've had a handful of people call, and the gal said, she goes, "I didn't report it because I was so embarrassed." She wired like $20,000, and they end up going to some, overshore site or, you know, bank account where they just can't be tracked. And I know that, I mean, these people are embarrassed that they've actually fallen for it, and they don't tell anybody because they're embarrassed. They didn't tell their children.
No, that's exactly right, and I totally agree. And one of the things I was reading on a scam just like that is where they will call somebody, they'll get a girl or a guy to call, and particularly when the elder gets up there in ages, where they start to become, they haven't talked to the grandchild in 5 years, mm-hmm. and they'll call and they'll say, "Hi, Mom," or "Hi, Grandma, do you know who this is?" And they'll say, "Well, you know, is this Susie?" And they'll say, "Yes, this is Susie. And, you know, I'm in big trouble. I need to pay the rent or something. I'm going to be evicted, or I'm in jail. I need to be. Can you please help me?"
Yep.
And so again, they're trusting. They want to be good people, and then these types of people are preying on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would call that the ruthless relative. I've identified five main categories, there's others, of typical financial elder abuse scenarios. One, slimy salesperson. Two, the ruthless relative. Three, predatory professionals. Four, conniving caretakers. And five, the online scammers.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different varieties of people that are doing, and these are the types of things that you're seeing. Another one, in talking about how the rise of the internet and technology, here's another scam that I heard of, that I read about, is people will go, and this is really sick, people will go and read obituaries online, and they'll say, it looks like her husband died, and, you know, they'll go and they'll call up the spouse who's grieving and elder on top of everything else and say, "Hey, you know, this is a really unfortunate time to bring this up, but, you know, your husband owed me $10,000. And, you know, and in this position of, like, just wanting to move on and get everything, it's just these scams, these things people are willing to do. You know, I would call that the online scammer, finding out information about you online and trying to use it against you.
Well, I mean, people will do anything for money, and, you know, it is sick because, you know, you called it. Not that, you know, you don't know what's going on, but as you get older, you start losing it. My grandmother was 94 when she died. I mean, up until probably 89, she was, you know, sharp as a whip. My aunt, she's, what, 94? She's like a 60-year-old. I mean, that lady would not, you couldn't get anything past her, Aunt Alice.
Aunt Alice. Shout out to Aunt Alice.
But
one of the greatest people in the world.
Yeah. But it's interesting because certain people you think have it going on, and yet it's just you, trusting people. And most elders are trusting. They didn't live in our generation of not trusting people or not wanting to trust people.
Right.
I mean, my grandmother got her jewelry stolen at the home she was living in, that she was paying $6,500 a month to live there.
Right.
Her jewelry got stolen. I mean, like, that's ridiculous.
Well, and I would call that, in those types of settings, it falls right into one of my categories, the conniving caretaker.
Yeah, yeah.
People that are there to protect your best interest, and then you find out they're trying to get you to put them in your will,
mm-hmm.
to use undue influence
yeah.
and coercion to put you in their will. Things like that, where they're just taking advantage of the vulnerability of an elder 65 or older.
Uh-huh.
So if you think you might have some questions, or you want to know if you're an elder or you're not sure, we have a hotline. Give us a call. We are here. Our firm is here to protect elders, particularly in aspects relating to financial elder abuse. You can call us. You can talk to Frontline Lisi. She'll take down some basic information. If there's a legal aspect, we can help you with that. But we want to make sure that you're taken care of. If you have questions or you're having problems with a company that's treating you poorly, if your mom or your dad, you know they just made some big mistake or were dealing with someone, call us, 877-276-5084. Find me on the web at attorneysteve.net. That's real easy, attorneysteve.net. And find me there, look me up, and let's talk about your problem. So, but let's go back to a little bit more about the master your domain element to this. You know, our master your domain show is really about you know, online, the internet culture and the things that are going on and how you can best protect and monitor yourself and your brands on the internet. And you know, part of what we were reading about, what I've done some research on over the weekend, was just all these different sites that contain all your information. And elderly persons, I mean, not only obituaries, you have, if you start looking at all the different information people can obtain about you online, you've got Ancestry.com, you've got your obituaries, you've got all access to all sorts of real estate records, you have kids that your kids and grandkids may be talking about you on Facebook, oh, here's mom's
mm-hmm.
house on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many things, and now, in addition, we are also seeing, with the growth of online dating sites, elders that, you know, they want companionship, and they're putting their profiles on the internet, not really thinking about what, you know, where they live, this and that. It's just, so you have to be really cognizant, as we mentioned on our Master Your Domain show, about brands and protecting your reputation, is understanding what's out there and trying to manage sort of the information that's out there about you. And that's a lot of what's going on right now.
Well, listen to this one. This morning I was setting up a UPS tracking, and they said, oh, do you want to, you know, basically set up an account where whenever anything's mailed to your house via UPS, you know, we'll send you an email and let you know it's coming. Well, so they go, you have to go through this, you know, answering questions. But it's like, which one of these people has lived in the same household as you? It was my sister's name. You check that box. What street have you lived on? It was your mother's street name. So, I mean, I was like, UPS has this kind of information?
That's right.
I was like, oh, my gosh, that is freaky to me.
Well, you know, it's an information age. We live in an information age. You know, years back, before I was an attorney, I worked at a company called Experian, one of the big three credit bureaus. And my job was a privacy consultant. It was my job for months upon months. My job was to read every aspect of every piece of information, privacy law that was going on. GLB, Gramm-Leach-Bliley, HIPAA, the medical privacy, video privacy, drivers, you know, privacy, tracking all the bills and regulations. I mean, this was years ago when this whole, you know, I don't want to say internet was started, but it was when things were really just taking off and people were coming up with, wow, look how much stuff can actually be out there. And we were trying to position products and services for Experian to sell some of their products. It was sort of a technology unit. It was a fun job. I really enjoyed it. But we learned about all the different ways your information gets out there, and companies are out there to harness and build profiles about you. And, you know, if when you're building these profiles, if their databases get hacked, then somebody has all your, I mean, it's really, and we're going to do other shows about this, that honestly, about the breach notification laws and things like that. I mean, this really starts going all over the place. But taking it into financial elder abuse, information is out there about everybody,
yeah,
including these elders. And so, I mean, this is why we have this big, all this concept about privacy policies and having policies that tell people what information you're collecting from them, how you're using it, who you're sharing it with. I mean, it's just the information is flowing everywhere from one company to the next, most of them profiting
right,
off the sale of your information.
Well, I mean, it amazed me that my name is different than my sister. So obviously we're in a database because, you know, they can, you know, link people to, you know, from previous addresses. That just kind of freaked me out, though.
Yeah.
I got the address thing because obviously it's where I've had the, you know, mailed before. But my sister, I just was like, that freaked me out. Like, we don't realize any information that we give. You're right. We don't read the fine print as to what they're using it for, what they're not. We all just say agree. I mean,
yeah,
who
and
reads
it's,
that stuff?
And it's, there's a term for that. It's called data creep, where you just start going like, wait a second. Something feels weird here. People are knowing things about me, and I don't want to get off topic. This is, you know, if you're interested in following these types of issues for my Blog Talk Radio fans, go to attorneysteveshow.com. That's our online podcast. That's for our e-business side of our business. But we talk about all the information law issues, social media law, attorneysteveshow.com. Don't miss it. You can download that app on the iTunes Marketplace or your Android, either one. So the issues are fascinating about information and how people are cultivating your information to learn how to market to you better, more personally. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we have some great insights on that. But back to financial elder abuse. So those are some of the stats and some of the forces. What is financial elder abuse? I'm going to give you just general, this is general legal overview, not legal advice. But generally, the causes of action under the Welfare and Institution Code, you're looking at, one, taking, secreting, appropriating, or retaining, two, the real or personal property of an, three, elder or dependent adult, again, elder being over 65, four, to a wrongful use in bad faith or intent to defraud. So really, some of the case law that you see there, we posted a nice article about financial elder abuse in the real estate context on one of my real estate blogs. It talks about basically taking somebody's personal or real property in bad faith. Generally speaking, that opens up a whole plethora of different types of scenarios where you can have acts that constitute elder abuse. So that's a basic what you're looking at. It's something that would be obvious to a reasonable person that somebody's not entitled to the money or the property. So that's sort of the general flavor, and of course there's all sorts of cases that interpret what do these things mean, and we'll go more in depth on other shows. But for today, the nice thing about the financial elder abuse statute, as I mentioned, is that it has some provisional remedies. You can seek a prejudgment attachment order, a writ of attachment. What's that? That's where you try to attach somebody's property, the wrongdoer, the defendant, at the outset of a lawsuit so that they can't transfer their assets and spend all the money or, get rid of and dispose of real personal property. So that's nice. Damages, it's an attractive statute for attorneys because you can seek your damages, your costs, your attorney fees, punitive damages, those kinds of things. So it's got the types of remedies that make it worthwhile to take, all or even part of these cases on contingency. Mm-hmm. So, again, if you think maybe you have a case of financial elder abuse, your loved one, check us out at attorneysteve.net. That's attorneysteve.net, and we'll take it from there. Now, I wanted just to sort of finish up the show with some of the types of scams that we think are out there. The slimy salesperson is one, and this could be anything from your telemarketers that are calling you up, telling you, oh, you got to have this, and just defrauding you online. So you got your telemarketers, you got your door-to-door salespeople. Now think about that. You're sitting in your home, you're elderly, somebody knocks on the door, seems really friendly, and you want to invite them in because they just seem really nice, and you want some company and someone to talk to. Next thing you know, they're selling you a $15,000 alarm system, and it turns out you already had an alarm, or the price is just excessively right. Gouged you because they took advantage of you. Those types of things are what I would call the slimy salesperson. Under this category, I'd also say you have things like the mortgage brokers. Mortgage brokers that are basically steering you into products that you don't need, not looking at reverse mortgages, those kinds of things, packing you away in fees. We saw one loan not too long ago was $40,000 in fees. It was like a $150,000 loan with $40,000 in fees. So those kinds of things where you just have slimy things going on, car dealers, you go into a car dealership and somebody is basically, stealing your trade, so to speak, just giving you nothing for it, packing you away in a six-year lease on a car on terms that you weren't properly explained, terms that violate Truth in Lending Act, those kinds of things, just packing you away, telling you it's a new paint job and giving you a Carfax printout when it's not a new paint job, and it turns out when you take it into the garage, you find out, wow, it's fraud. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. It's a slimy salesperson. There's another one that I read about with insurance salesmen basically selling worthless annuities so they can get a commission. On and on and on. Anybody that sells something for a living can potentially get greedy for that commission. So, you know, that's one category. Another one, ruthless relatives. Again, people that get in these positions of power and trust and authority over an elder, they may be seeking a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a power of attorney and grossly abuse it for their own advantage, essentially stripping the elder of their assets as they get older. So, I mean, the slimy salesperson, the ruthless relative, in regard to the ruthless relative, some of the things, and we haven't seen this so much, but you can imagine how this would happen, is just bullying, like the bullying of an elder. Bullying them into doing things that you're telling them that are in their best interest, bullying them into putting you in their will, those kinds of things. And, you know, an elder not really being able to fight back. They're older, they trust you, and you're here, used to be this nice person. Now you're yelling at them, telling them what they need to do, telling them they're getting old, all because you have a financial motive in getting their property and their assets. And, again, that's bad faith, intent to defraud, either one. Those are the kinds of things you're looking at. Online dating, we talked about this. Online dating, this is called affinity. This is called affinity fraud. And this is like, you may have remembered the old show. I think, what was it? There was an old show about the one or two guys that used to con the old people. I don't know if you remember. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
It was a sitcom or
no, it was
movie.
A movie about 20 years ago. And it was this guy who got all dressed up, and he was, I should have had the name of it, but he was, you know, charming elderly women out of their jewelry.
He was all dressed up. I don't remember what
but this is the same thing that's happening in online dating. It's called affinity fraud, where you're finding out about people, you're learning all this stuff about them, you're charming the pants off them, and basically because you want to get at their jewelry, or you want to take their property. So those kinds of things. We talked about the technology scams, the phishing, the fake websites. Elders don't know any better. I shouldn't say that, but lots of times they're easier to target and prey upon. Mm-hmm. These Nigerian scams. I get Nigerian scams sent to me all the time.
There was a guy at the post office, like a guy that was, you know, he was older, but he bought something, sent the money, and it was a Nigerian scam. He bought a car or something. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And he wasn't that old. But so because it was done through the mail, he had gone in there to talk to them about it, but crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, and like I said, with these scams, I get them all the time myself. I'm an attorney. I get probably 5 emails a month from somebody telling me they have a case in Singapore. Where it's a contract case or a divorce case, and they want me to represent them, and I just go, this is, like, so silly.
Yeah.
But there's attorneys that fall victim to
these.
They
look real because I've seen them.
Yeah, there's attorneys that fall victim to these. So if you get an email or you're tempted to, you're chomping at the bits and it seems too good to be true and you just have to do it, call our firm, talk to Frontline Lisi. We can find out. We can do some research for you. We are here to help you. We're not going to charge you for some basic information to see if who you're dealing with is legitimate or not. This is a service that we provide to help protect elders who, you know, we represent certain cases. We will be cases, but other times, if you just need somebody that you can trust that's going to help you sort out the sheep from the goats, give us a call, 877-276-5084. Find us at attorneysteve.net, and we can look into these things for you. Okay? So, and the other category that we have is the predatory professionals. This is your attorney, your accountant, your lawyers, your law groups, people that you hire, your trustees.
Brokers.
People that are licensed professionals that are supposedly out to protect your interests. Many times you think that they have years and years of training. You'll look at their websites. They'll talk about all the amazing things that they do and how long they've been in the business. And we've seen, like, attorneys, for example, that say, oh, I'm an elder care specialist, and a real estate specialist, and they're the ones committing these acts. I mean, it's really heinous. But even more so, when you have predatory professionals, you have fiduciary duties. And where you have fiduciary duties, it's warranted that you would trust and rely on this professional to help you. That's why you hire these people, often paying them either big dollars in advance or big commissions. You hire them to protect your best interests, and then they're going off doing secret dealings, secret profits,
yeah.
breaching duties of loyalty, going behind your back so that they can basically financially rape you. And so these are things, again, where you see them and you want to do something about it. So, and going back to the slimy salesperson, another one is these funeral and cremation scams where you're telling people you need to buy this or you have to buy this. It's, you know, in order to do a cremation, you have to buy the $7,000 casket. Just selling unnecessary products was another thing that was talked about. But so there's just, I mean, the number of scams is virtually limitless. Another one just that they were talking about is just scareware. These virus pops up. You know, you get this something pop up on your computer and says, you have a virus. You need this. Well, that's a scam in most cases.
It happened to me.
So, right. Happens to everybody.
It happened to me. I bought it, and so.
Yeah. So, I mean, and this is what I mean. If it happens to you with your normal faculties,
right.
I mean, it can happen to anybody. But it's even more egregious when you have just an elder person trying to live out their life and enjoy their kids and their grandkids, and then they have to deal with these kinds of things. Not only these kinds of things, but acts of identity theft. So, I mean, these are things where our office gets involved, and if you feel that you need someone to look out for your best interests or you want to run something by somebody and see if maybe you've been victimized and to see what, if any, remedies you may have, give our office a call. It's 877-276-5084.
Okay. So that's, I mean, what else? Now, you talked about attorney fees.
Well, one of the things about the statute, as I mentioned, is that it does, if you are able to prove your case, you are able to seek attorney fees, recovery of your attorney fees. This is a good incentive for other attorneys to basically take your case, either all or part of it, on a contingency fee basis. So these are things that we'll look at, and that helps you because if you're a elderly person, and let's say you don't have this big huge nest egg, and you know you don't have money to vindicate your rights, well, because the statute is written in a way that allows you to go back and seek recovery of these attorney fees, you could find an attorney like myself that can take all or part of your case on a contingency fee basis. That allows you a better chance to vindicate your rights and sort of clean up some of the messes and abuses that are going on out there.
So really, this is why firms or some firms, ours in particular, would consider taking these partially on a contingency fee basis because at the end, obviously, if you feel strongly about the case, at the end you could actually make more money than you would have if you would have been billing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, it's, you know, there's obviously we're in the business to make money and this and that, but really what's important here is putting people on notice that this is a growing problem and we need more attorneys fighting this. I mean, it's not something that Attorney Steve can do alone. This is something where we do need more lawyers to get involved and take up these cases. You have, in most cases, when you walk into court, you've got a good plaintiff on your hands. Why? Because they're elderly, again, trying to enjoy their lives and this and that, and they've been victimized. And usually it's pretty obvious, it's pretty apparent, the abuses that are going on here. Yes, you still have to prove your case and those kinds of things. But, you know, not only these things, but the undue influence and the probate code, different things that are going on and forcing people to, elders, into these testamentary interest instruments that transfer their interests. You know, unknowingly forging names and signatures. We've seen that with the ruthless relatives, forging documents, coming up with fake deaths after the fact, having people sign things on their deathbed or in the care units. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, it really isn't enough time to talk about all the things that go on. But again, we're here to protect the interests of elders. And if you feel that, that you've been victimized, give us a call. I've given you the information. And
I'll give the number again.
Why don't you?
877-276-5084.
So that's about all I want to talk about today. Be aware that these things are going on. Be aware that there's laws that are out there to protect you. And be aware there's firms like ours that can take all or part of your case on a contingency fee basis. And, again, that just requires a review of your case and to see, you know, what we think and looking at who the defendants are and those kinds of things.
And in closing?
Yes.
We need to go work on our elder abuse case.
Yes, we have a case we'll be working on today along these lines. So we wanted to talk about this while it was fresh in our minds. And that's about it. Again, if you're interested in some of the information age legal issues, the social media, the different things, don't miss our podcast, Master Your Domain.
Very good. Very good.
And this will be on there, and that's at attorneysteveshow.com. You can go and listen to the podcast. If you want the app, the best bet, you want to take it to the gym, you want to show your friends, you want to be out on the beach taking a walk and hearing Frontline Lisa spout all her wisdom and charm and wit.
There's a lot of it.
Which is really limitless, then you're going to want your app. Go to your iTunes store, go to your Android marketplace, Google, or type in Attorney Steve Show. Attorney Steve Show, you should get our show. Download that app and get that goodness inside you every day. and get some general legal information that helps you understand. We try to break down these legal issues into what I call Von Deasy, Law Made Easy. So hopefully that has helped you today. Let's get out there and protect those seniors. Let's get more attorneys involved in taking these types of cases. And let's hold these slimy financial predators liable. Okay?
Yeah.
Very good. So that's about it. Attorney Steve out. Frontline Lisi, thank you so much, as always, for your input and knowledge and just an overall amazingness.
Oh, sorry.
All right, we're out of here.
The preceding show consists of general legal information only and is not legal advice or a substitute for legal advice. Contact an attorney if you need legal advice. All information set forth on the show are opinions only and should not be relied upon as being accurate, as the law is subject to interpretation and is constantly evolving. The law offices of Stephen C. Vondran is licensed to practice law in California and Arizona, and we only serve clients in these two states. This is an advertisement and communication pursuant to the state bar rules. Vondran Legal Hour, copyright 2012, all rights reserved.